Here we are, August 12th, 1992, beginning and ending February of 1993, a book, Psi, labelling of oligos, but a little airplane note at the beginning, CFII renewed for 2 years. That says certified flight instructor of instruments renewed for 2 years on the basis of graduation from refresher course, graduating from a refresher course, trying to label the oligos. It was beginning on the end of the previous book. First attempt at labelling. Very borderline accounts. But why I was labelling, I have to find out by going back why the labelling was being done. These experiments were really a little bit wild, in the sense that I thought that if I had a mismatched DNA, that might encourage recombination. So the idea was therefore to make sequences that didn't match completely, and to do that it was helpful to have a labelled sequence and use that in this type of experiment. Trying to use a labelled DNA to look for mismatching. Rough test of the mismatch idea on Tuesday, August 18th, page 7, saying that likely that the HPRT oligo hybridized as well and was well labeled. The ORI oligo hybridizes correctly but appears to be very poorly labeled, etc. So having difficulties in making the idea work, but tested anyway, and the result being that a bunch of ratios in the experiments, six experiments, varying from 59 to 106. Very doubtful if those are any differences. So these are different oligo hybridizations. Wednesday, September 2nd, page 11 from Frank Dean, a bunch of nice things that he sent me from Sloan Kettering. Human single-stranded binding protein and an ADP, ribose polymerase, etc. Frank Dean in Jerry Horowitz's lab. going on with the experiments, Wednesday, September 2nd, an experiment there that said I should have used a different construct. However, the conclusion, can't detect a single strand in binding by gel or by ESL. This was an attempt to see whether KH21 after exonuclease with and without human plus or minus human single stranding binding protein, whether that made any difference. But the ratio of non-homologous to homologous was didn't vary much in these experiments, 35 to 49. Can't detect human SSB by the gel or by ES cells. PARP, poly-ATP ribose polymerase, PARP, binds to NICs, and try to nick the DNA and add PARP and see what happens. So this page 15, Thursday, September 13, is nicking the DNA. Experiment with PARP done, and as usual, no significant effect. Like human SSV, human PARP is negative. Call Frank, he suggests, etc. Worth trying different things, but negative result. Spent many hours on this type of work. Exonuclease 1, rough tests on degrading to leave 5 prime ends. Exonuclease 1 again, then acts specifically on single-stranded DNA. It should digest delta HN exo extensively, but not delta HN hind. Exonuclease 7 being thought of on page 21. All these different things. Exo 7, page 23, Friday, September 11. In electrophoresis, has no effect. And in the tests of homologous versus non-homologous, again, nothing significant. Repeat of the 3 prime to 5 prime exonuclease 3 on D delta HN hind, Sunday, September 13th, 24. The enzyme was too old, is the conclusion. Repeat of XO3 experiment on September 14th, page 29, no effect. Conclusion, with this more conservative enzyme action, XO3, that is to say the 5' overhang, has no effect either on the ratio, although about twofold, on the absolute frequency. More tests of the same type, page after page of them. ATP-dependent DNAs, Monday the 21st of September. Rather strange entry on page 38, Monday, September 21st. Conclusion: the virus is back. Something not very happy being thought of, but not at all clear what it was. Went to Ohio to do the annual on the Grove 109B motor glider, not without incident. I don't remember what the incident was, but there must have been some incident on that trip. This is back in 1992, and so that's 23 years ago. I still have that same airplane, at least I have a share in it now. Heat shocks. I'm trying some ideas of heat shocks on the ESO. I'm looking at the ESO and photographs of the colonies. So here was an experiment, heat shock post electroporation, rough tests on page 49, Wednesday, September 30th. One of the two non-heat shock ESL plates was strip-sinized and used as a standard, and the other was from heat shocked cells. The cells were zapped as usual and incubated for 3 hours at 37 degrees, and then heat shock for 20 minutes at 45 degrees, and then looked to see if it made any difference. And the homologous recombination frequency was, if anything, poorer after heat shocking. Changed from 128 non-homologous to homologous, and increased to 299 after the heat shock. So, negative result. If anything, got worse. And did a heat shock time series Wednesday, October 7th. At least planned. And at last, a beginning of what I think is the better work that was carried out in the my work with gene targeting, which is a new idea first stated here on page 53 of this book, 1992, Sunday, October 11th. AGT, angiotensinogen, and other genes idea. It's worth thinking about because it's the motivation for much of what has happened since. It was stimulated by the paper from Germaitre et al. 1992, where they were looking at the molecular basis of human hypertension and the role of angiotensinogen. And they collected families in which there were at least two members who had at least two siblings, and then these were families in which one person was hypertensive, at least one person was hypertensive, and then they asked whether there was any difference in the angiotensinogen genes in these in the individuals who were hypertensive, and they found a molecular variant, a methionine-threonine difference, and were able to correlate the hypertension with the presence of the threonine change. But they also noted a change in the amount of angiotensinogen in these persons. So one could not tell whether the change in angiotensinogen level was caused by the genetic change or by the blood pressure change. And so I began to think about this, and this was the start of that type of thought. So it says that stimulated by their paper over the last few years, I've considered how to test the human methionine 2,3,5-threonine change versus the concentration of angiotensinogen versus hypertension in mice. And because I began to think that the MTT change may be only a tag and not the actual important change, and because the actually position 235 methionine is not present in the mouse. It's a species specific substitution. And I felt that the basic hypothesis of Germaitre et al., however, is that the concentration of AGT is the critical variant, not the M2T change. And this can be tested in vivo, even without knowledge of most of the controlling elements, by changing the number of copies of the gene. And this was a new idea to me, and I think a new idea in general, that if I used a suitable targeting vector, I could, with an O-type recombination, I could get a chromosome in which the gene was now duplicated, and compare that with the normal unduplicated chromosome. So I could have one, I could have a two-copy normal person, a three-copy with a 1+2, and a four-copy with 2+2. So, and if I made a knockout, I could use the heterozygote as a one-copy. So I would be able to test the heterozygote, one copy, heterozygous knockout, one copy, the normal one animal, one copy, and one and a duplication, two, and two. This was the beginning of my start of a long series of experiments in which I varied the concentration of a gene product, the amount of a gene product, rather than changing the sequence or knocking out. And as I per se on page 55 there, the idea can be tested on any of the genes we are studying, and gives the opportunity also to investigate what the compensating genotypes might have. A real test of animal models of the genetics of hypertension. So the beginning of the idea of altering the amount of gene product rather than just knocking it out or altering its sequence. Going back to the current experiments on Wednesday, October 21st, cold shock, trying to, since the heat shock showed that homologous recombination before or shortly after the zapping clearly decreases the homologous recombination more than the non-homologous recombination. So try what happens if I take them down to minus 5 degrees. And that experiment was done, cold shock, with the usual result. Nothing changed. So page 63 and 62 shows heat shock cells before zapping, heat shocking the cells before zapping, 20 minutes at 45 degrees. And the ratio before with no treatment was 42 non-homologous per homologous, and the heat shock only increased that number. Thinking some more about the heat shock experiments and coming to the conclusion that it was worth doing synchronization of the cells would be valuable. Thursday, November 19th, page 67, H duplication being begun. Kim is doing the AGT duplication, but H becomes another a good candidate because of the paper by Camden et al, Cambian et al, in the that had been published in Nature in October 15, that the deletion polymorphism in the antisense converting enzyme is a potent risk factor for myocardial infarction. In other words, polymorphism in the ACE gene changes the level of the amount of the protein. So more angiotensin converting enzyme individuals are at greater risk for myocardial infarction. So ACE was a good candidate again for what we now began to call a gene titration, the effect of different doses of the gene. On Thursday, November 19th, page 67, I talk about that. Working with O-type recombinant large deletion, but knowing from Vicky Valencius's work that a big gaps can be repaired her work was quite important in being confident about using gene, using construct with big gaps, and I'll just look up that reference. We are, as I said, November 19th, in 1992, and Vicky Valencius' work was published in 1991, and she had shown, published a paper, double strand gap repair in a mammalian gene targeting reaction. It's a very pretty paper, and as she said in her abstract, to better understand the mechanism of homologous recombination, we've analyzed the recombination reaction that inserts a plasmid into a homologous chromosomal locus, and using partially deleted HPRT gene. Her experiments showed targeted plasmids, targeting plasmids that carry a double strand break or a gap, produce many more recombinants than plasmids that are uncut, and that the gaps couldn't be 200, 600, or 2.5 kilobases. And are efficiently repaired during the integrative recombination reaction. So this is why we began to feel quite happy about using plasmids that had big gaps in them to repair or to duplicate genes that were too big to include in the construct. Let me say that again in a different way. To get the gene duplication, one has to cross over within the gene with a plasmid carrying another copy of the gene. But if the gene is a big gene that exceeds the capacity of the targeting vector, a double-stranded gap can be repaired, therefore one doesn't need to make the targeting vector as large. And this is shown quite clearly in the diagram on page 67, Thursday, November 19th. How to get gene titration with the ACE gene, and as we'll see, that produced some very interesting results. Making a probe, a 5' ACE probe, to get isolate the gene. three prime candidate phage for the five prime ACE gene. Page 75, Tuesday, December 8th. Continuing testing it. On Tuesday, December 8th, tests of the product, page 77, on the opposite page, the conclusion, obvious, no recovery of the DNA. Scrap that experiment. Redigestion, try again. On page 81, and continuing on the following page, looking at the various minis on page 85, Tuesday, December 15th, three primase phage candidates. And conclusion, it doesn't look good. I decided to go back and rescreen the pigs that yielded the 5' prime and 3' prime ACE candidates. So looking at candidates for the 5' prime part of the gene and 3' prime part of the gene. So Thursday, December 17th, page 91, I'm looking at the candidates for the 5' prime ACE gene, the ACE gene being basically a two-headed gene. It added a 5' prime ACE and a 3' prime ACE, each of which is functional. One testis and one somatic partly or more, and so on. So looking at the on page 891 of the 5' prime ACE candidates, which were blue, on page 93 of the 3' prime ACE gene candidates, which are red. And trying to prove which were correct. In the meantime, beginning tests of synchronization of cells with the Monday, December 21st, page 99, looking at tests of electroporation during the S phase. A conclusion as usual. No obvious change in the ratio after amphidicholine, but about a tenfold or more decrease in the ability to survive. Looking at the phage minis on page 103. The red ones, again, for the 3' prime gene, page 105, December 24th, Christmas Eve, and the southern blots. And looking back at the results on Sunday, December 27th, and so forth, continuing to find the ACE gene. 5' ACE picks revisited, called Blue, 5 Prime, Tuesday, December 29th. Page 113, three candidates, etc., but not very strong. Making new primers and probes for the ACE gene. Tests on the probes and page 121, Saturday, January 9th, continuing the work to try to isolate the genes. Nothing particularly striking, just slogging away. And Thursday, January 14th, page 129, repeat of the 3 prime with genomic DNA. Looks okay. About PCRs being used to make some probes on page 131, Friday, January 15th. A good stock now available. Page 133, Monday, January 18th, we've had good expected 5.2 kb VAM-H1 with the long 5 prime ACE probe. Need to get a reproducible southern prior to the phage, etc. Paper suggesting a way of improving the efficiency of positive-negative selection in homologous recombinant, published in Nucleic Acid Research, 1992, Bernie Grandauci, etc., from Jean Godet's lab, using an idea to increase the frequency. So it's an idea that hairpins might protect the plasma. So I began to think about that too. To test with the idea of this so-called splinker test that I had, page 143, Sunday, January 23rd, the final test vector is planned to be, and there's a diagram, the TK gene alongside the usual small test vector, the delta HN. The idea will be to cut with BAM, ligate in a phosphorylated BAM splinker, exonuclease, and reprecipitate to get a fully covalent structure. So the idea is to close the ends of the DNA by ligating them into a circular end. As it were, make one continuous DNA with no ends. The diagram is quite clear at the bottom of page 143 what the idea is of the BAM Splinker. And their various experiments to try to get there. So we get to a test check on BHN-TK, the TK gene. Alongside the usual small delta HN sequence. And a couple of candidates, and both are TK in the same orientation. And the book is ending with, on page 161, with some new ACE probes that are going to be used to capture the ACE gene. And so we ending the book on page 162, Wednesday, February 3rd, with a nested amplification of the current 429 product, various ideas on trying to improve PCR by nested amplification. And the result being conclusion, excellent PCR, the time increase made a difference, run a preparative gel. So there is amplification of the sequence that's needed to make a probe. And the end of book Psi.